From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, a Texas oilman pleads guilty to illegally paying millions to Saddam Hussein. The move was part of an effort to win contracts in the United Nations Oil for Food program.
But first, a group of troops from the New Hampshire National Guard has just returned from Iraq. But before they return to their family and friends and to enjoying a bit of downtime, General Kenneth Clark reminded them of one more obligation.
We take soldiers from mobilization through reintegration, and reintegration means back to being a citizen with your family. I say to you, and you're going to hear this a dozen times this week, the mission's not over. We're still here to serve you. I can't wait to see you in the middle of the week. We'll talk some more.
The transition to life at home can be tough, and there's a program to help them, as New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When Sergeant Susan Reynolds got home after a year in Iraq, she realized almost immediately that life had changed. She'd sort of put her husband and two kids on pause, but when she came back and pressed play, things were different, especially her 15-year-old son, her baby.
And now he's this kid who's taller than I am, and he's shaving, and I'm looking at him going, oh my God, while I was gone, he grew up. Does he need me?
Reynolds was one of the dozens of soldiers gathered in the New Hampshire National Guard's armory in Concord. The scene looks a lot like a college fair. Folding tables set up in this cavernous room, people visiting different stations. Soldiers carry hot pink plastic bags, bulging with brochures, packets, briefing materials, and business cards. The bags stand out against the muted grays, yellows, and browns of the soldiers' camouflage uniforms. When I ask whether the 3-day reintegration program is helpful, most troops say no, at least not for them. Sergeant Jeff Garan knows right now a lot of the soldiers are feeling a little invincible. Thoughts like, I just got back from a war zone, are running in their heads. Garan says during what's called the honeymoon phase, the farthest thing from their minds is mental health.
They're thinking about home, they're thinking about beer, they're thinking about the mall, pizza.
Colonel Debbie Carter, the architect behind the New Hampshire Guard's program, understands that soldiers are distracted right now. She says she just wants to make sure troops at least know about the galaxy of social services out there.
What we don't want to have happen is have people not know what to go or where to go.
And problems do crop up. Carter says she's seen returning soldiers experience higher rates of divorce, alcohol and substance abuse, domestic violence, and child abuse. What she says may be the most important component of the program is that each soldier must do something they really don't want to do, sit down with a counselor.
We're talking a culture that is a military culture, so predominantly male. Then you add the fact that, you know, we're from New England. It's no wonder that anybody's getting any counseling.
Carter knows the troops' patience for PowerPoints and psychiatrists is low. So she asked a number of Iraq and Afghan war veterans, like Sergeant Ken Kinsella, to go in front of the new arrivals and talk about the problems they had when they got home.
I led off with a dramatic one just for the sake of drama. I walk into a Dunkin' Donuts. I'd only been home for a few weeks. I'm in jeans and a sweatshirt.
But on his way in, a guy Kinsella describes as big and burly, doesn't hold the door, nearly hitting the sergeant in the face. Annoyed, Kinsella lets it slide. Big and burly puts in his order. Then the cashier asks Kinsella for his.
And I say, I'd like a large, and the kid steps in my way. So now he's in front of me between me and the cashier. So in about 0.2 seconds, I decide that he needed to die. And I figured out how I was going to do it. I was going to grab him by the ankles. I was going to step back real hard so he hit his face. I was going to kick him between the legs. I was going to drop my knee on the base of his spine, which would stun him. And then I could get at his head and I would twist it. And then I would get a large with milk only and get in my car. And I processed it. I took my hands out of my pocket. I took a step back to get ready. And then I realized what I had done.
Kinsella says what he's trying to get across to soldiers is that they shouldn't underestimate the difficulties coming back. While military life in Iraq isn't easy, ducking mortars, avoiding IEDs, it is simple. Conversely, civilian life in the U.S. is easy, but complex. Sergeant Jeff Garan also talks to returning troops about his transition home.
You know, we talked about the complexity of family life. I just didn't have that for a year and a half. To me, it was just, I got up in the morning, I ate, I went out on the road. You know, I might get hit by an IED or something. I came in, I got lunch and fuel. I went back out on the road, came back, ate again, and went to bed. So to get home and have someone say to you, hey, you need to take out the trash, you need to pay the bills, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll get to that. Well, you need to do it tomorrow. Okay. You know, and then tomorrow comes and goes, and my wife says, did you do the bills? No. Why not? Well, because it's really not that important to me right now. Well, our credit's important. Yeah, I guess.
They wound up in couples counseling for 8 months.
I made excuses to my wife for the way I behaved, you know, flying off the handle. Oh, why did you do that? Well, that's what I did in Iraq. You know, well, you need to get out of that mode. Yeah, well, unfortunately, there's no switch. There's no Iraq-USA switch or no war-peace switch. You know, it takes time. And I think, you know, I know myself personally, and there's other guys out there that are still going through that transition.
Garand's decision to seek counseling with his wife encourages the New Hampshire National Guard. Rather than soldiers either bottling up problems or trying to solve them on their own, they've learned to look for help, and they're getting it. Tim Beebe of the Vet Center, a program within the VA, says the program works because after the mandatory meeting with the counselor, soldiers realize it's not so scary.
We use the analogy, if a person is physically wounded in war, that there's a recovery process. Some folks can be emotionally wounded by war also, and there's some recovery there too. And that makes sense to them, to put it on both a physical and an emotional level.
Compared to the national average, New Hampshire National Guardsmen are 3 times more likely to get individual or family counseling. It's a troubling statistic, Beebe says, because it suggests a lot of soldiers aren't getting the help they need. But some states across the country are adopting New Hampshire's model. Congress has passed legislation that requires states to provide some reentry program for the Guard and Reserve. That change can't come fast enough. These citizen soldiers make up 22% of the American military presence in Iraq. And according to National Guard statistics, the suicide rate for Guard soldiers is 50% higher than last year. For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.